interesting detail that I saw in Parshas Tazria, and it's related very closely to this pshat that we said the other day concerning the Maaseh Rab Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elezer ben Azaria, Rabbi Akiva, that it's all a hint to what the matzav at the time, that right then, according to Rabbi Akiva, was the Zman HaGeulo. And this is why right after Pesach, the Talmide Rabbi Akiva went to fight and they died. I saw something very, very interesting. In Parshas Tazria, it says like this, that a woman who has a child has to go through a process of 40 days, right, in order to regain her status. To completely regain her status, she has to go through a process of 40 days, right? In other words, if she wants to bring come to the Beis Hamikdash, she has to wait 40 days. Now, of those 40 days, well, 80 if she is a girl, but that's the same idea, it's 40 multiplied by 2. The idea is the key number here is the number 40, right? The number 40 is divided in such a way. The first 7 days are days of complete impurity. Right? That's how it starts, the parsha. Ishoki sazria v'yoldos ochor, right? Then shivat yomim, she's completely tumo, kimei nidas dvoiso, like a regular nido. A regular nido is also for 7 days. So even, theoretically, let's say she had an absolutely clean birth, no blood whatsoever. Is she still tome? Yes, because birth creates tome 7 days. After those 7 days, you have 33 days, right? Right? In other words, to reach from 7 to 40, you have 33 days. And those 33 days, in a way, like balance out the 7. What does it mean? Even if a woman sees blood during the 33 days, she's still muter. She's still tohor. That's what it says. Yeshev bidmei tohorot during the 33 days. And together, the 7 first days that were one extreme here, that even if she didn't see blood, she's tomei, right? It's counterbalanced by 33 days that even if she sees blood, she's tohor. And together, it forms the 40 days that makes her ready to come to the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah. So I saw in Sforim that the Maharal talks about the number 40. According to the Maharal, the number 40 we always find whenever it's a heipuch, whenever there is a change from one extreme to another, right? So somehow the 40 days of a woman from the moment she gives birth until she's ready to come to the Beis Hamikdash, it requires like the 40-day period of cleansing, of Dor HaMabul, that 40 days, it needs 40 days. There's some period of cleansing. And that period is made up of 7 and 33. So it says an incredible thing. It says that, Ze le'uma ze boro Hashem. There is a passage that says, God created Ze le'uma ze. Koichos hatumo. And koichos hataro, the koichos hataro connected koichos hatuma, right? That was one makes up for the other. There is a certain balance. So it says like this: the 33 is the balance of 7, right? That's what it says. 7. What is the number 7? Number 7 is always teva, nature. Teva is always the number 7. In nature, right? The nature of sheva, right, is related to tumo. The tumor of nature, of physical things. This is made up by the number 33 that represents the taro. And together, the tumor and the taro make up the number 40. So it says like this. Because in order for 7 to reach 40, you need 33. And the Torah says, Ushloishim yoim ushloishes yomim teshev bitmei toro. Listen how interesting this is. We know that Geulo requires two things. Redemption requires a physical redemption and a spiritual redemption. Right? Now, it's interesting. The Yimei HaSfiro, right? Sfiro, which is the time that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva fought, right? You have the number 7 there, not in days, but in weeks. Now, Sfirah is closely related to the number 7. It's interesting. It says in the Sifrei Kabbalah that why Lag BaOmer, right, we commemorate, it's a festive occasion. All of a sudden it's such a sad occasion, the whole Sfirah. Lag BaOmer is a very festive occasion. So there is a Kabbalah, there is a Mesorah, there is a tradition, because Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying on that day. Or there's another tradition that says that they didn't die on another day. They stopped on that day, but they didn't die on that day, and then they continued dying. You know, there is a different, there are different traditions. But the same Balei Kabbalah say, and that is the day Hilule de Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, that the 33rd day of Sfirah is the day that we commemorate the Hilule, the birth and death of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And what's so special about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Because he was also Metalmide Rabbi Akiva. You know, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the main Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. But he was a very special Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because he redeemed, this is the Lashon, redeemed, Goyel. He was the Goyel of Toiras Hasod. He redeemed Kabbalah. Somehow he brought forth, he opened up the gates of the insight into Torah like no one else before him. That's what it says in the Sifrei Kabbalah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the first one who opened up the gates of insight, of Sod, of the insight into Torah. You know, according to the tradition, what is credited to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? The Sefer HaZohar. It says like this: the final redemption of Klal Yisrael, right? There is a midrash, and then there is a Hasidic legend that's very closely connected to this midrash. So in the midrash it says concerning Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and the Hasidic literature is concerning the Baal Shem Tov, and it said, when will Mashiach come? Did you ever hear that? Mosai Koosimar, did you ever hear that? When will Mashiach come? Kesheyofutsu Mainosecho Chutzo. When the Torah Hasod, when that new insight into Torah that was brought forth through Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai will be widespread, when people will start understanding Torah through the method of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that will bring about the Geulah. Right? So that's a midrash concerning Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and that is a legend concerning the Baal Shem Tov. But one thing they have in common, that somehow Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai did something that in a way balances what we lost in Yemei HaSfira. What we lost in Yemei HaSfira is the Geulah. We fought and lost. Bar Kochva's main fight was during the Yemei HaSfira. We lost. But to counterbalance what we lost, we also gained. What did we gain? That other thing, the other redemption, the redemption of the gates of wisdom that gives us insights into Torah that we never had before. The Torah Sasod, the Zohar. That's what it says in Sforin. That Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? We commemorate Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai because he did for us, right? He made up what we lost. Again, it's amazing. We lost during the 7 weeks. What is the counterpart? The number 33. Again, you find that the number 33, the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, the one who didn't lose, is connected with the number 33. And this is why Lag BaOmer, right, becomes the commemoration. Not the sad occasion, but the commemoration. For the same reason that the 33, right? And it's interesting, the number 40 always represents revolution, right? The revolution of Bar Kochba is made up of two things. 7, we lost. 2 men. But the 33, we gained. So again, we see the connection between the 33 and the 7. Okay? And this is the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva that lost, but they gained. Now, it wasn't a complete loss, because the number 33 really gained. Okay, let's continue here to Baruch HaMoko in Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenos Antor Elamu Yisrael Baruch Hu. Now, the reason for saying Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu is because we want to separate what we did up to now to what we are going to do from now on. Up to now, we just gave reasons why we should say the Haggadah, right? We should say the Haggadah because Avodim Oyin Olu B'Far B'Mitzrayim, right? The Chol Amar Be'Areze Meshubo and the Chachomim used to tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Therefore, we are already here to say the Haggadah. In order to separate the introduction to why we have to say the Haggadah to the actual Haggadah, we say Baruch Hu, right? Like we say Baruch Hu in order to separate between Sukkei de Zimra, right? And Birchai Skrishme, Baruch Hu, because now we are ready to bless Hashem. We are saying Baruchos, okay? So we don't say actually Baruch Hu because we don't necessarily have a minyan, so we have a substitute for a Baruch Hu. Baruch HaMokoyim, and Baruch Hu, and Baruch Shirosat Olam Yisrael. The Maharal says, four times we mention the word Baruch, Baruch HaMokoyim, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenosat Olam Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Four times, Keneged, everything else in the night of Pesach, which is connected with the number four. But why do we call first Hashem Mokoyim, Baruch HaMokoyim, and then we call him Shenosan Torah Lam Yisrael, the giver of Torah? So, that already says in many Meforshim that this fits to the brachas that we say in the morning and in the evening before we say Kriya Shema. Now, Kriya Shema is what? Kabbalah Sol Malchu Shamayim, right? Kabbalah Sol Malchu Shamayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? We precede, before we say Kriya Shema, we say two brachos. Now, what are the subjects of these two brachos? Interesting. Both in the morning and the evening, the first bracha relates to what? Let's pay attention. Hameir lo oretz, yoitzer hamoiroiz. That's the morning. So what is it all about? Right? And at night, hamari varovim, poisi ashorim, machalif esazmanim. What is it all about? Nature.
World, creation.
Creation, the world, the physical world. God, right? Who makes up the physical world. What is that? How do we call Hashem when we want to say that everything in this world is Hashem? Mokoyim. In other words, Mokoyim relates to the name of God as the one who is nature. Mokoyim. You know, we see nature in space. Mokoyim. What is the theme of the second bracha, both in the morning and in the evening? Right? The first one is God of the world, and the second bracha is Avora bo aftonu, you love us, you give us Torah, right? Right? But lamdeim chukechaim, kein techones lamdeino, right? Or at night, avora bo, avasolo be yisram ho, toiro mitzvah yitzchuk mishpotim, right? Baruch atu Hashem, oyev amo yisrael. So what is the second bracha? And that great God of nature is also our particular God, right, that takes care of us. Okay? And then when we unite both ideas, God of the world and our personal God, then we are ready to make Kabbalah Malchu Shamayim, right? Baruch HaMokoyim is the equivalent to the first brachos. Baruch Shenosan Torah is the equivalent of the second brachos, right? Now we are ready to mention it, Yetzias Mitzrayim, like we do every day. And then we start saying, how should we say the Haggadah? Right? Yes, suppose the Haggadah says the author, there are four ways to say the Haggadah. Keneged arbo bonim divrei Torah. Since it says in the Torah, Vigalto Levincho, so we want to clarify that there are four levels of saying the Haggadah. There is a level that addresses the Chochom, one addresses the Shrosho, one addresses the Tam, and one addresses Sheino Yodei Alisho. Chochom Oimer. What is the question of the Chochom? He asks, Moho Eidus Vachukim Vamishpotim Asher Tzivo Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. Very difficult to know what he's asking. On the surface, he's asking what they are, right? But it's very difficult. He knows exactly that some of them are Chukim, Mishpotim, Eidus. He knows already enough detail that it's hard to believe that he doesn't know. You hear the problem? If he would say, Moha mitzvos, right? I'm a chokham, I want to find out. Tell me the mitzvos. He doesn't say mitzvos. He even puts them into categories. Right? Some of the mitzvot in Pesach are chukim. Some of them are mishpotim. Some of them are edus. So he knows a lot about him. So what does he want to know more? He knows enough to categorize them. So what does he want to know? This is the question of the Shem Shmuel. And he says, let's add it to another question. The answer. Ve'afato emor lo kihilchos ha-Pesach. You give him the answer like the laws of Pesach. What do you mean like the laws of Pesach? The laws of Pesach, why like? And what do you tell him? Eimafiri macher ha-Pesach ha-Pikomen. Don't eat after you eat ha-Pikomen. Don't eat anything. So why would this be mentioned? Of all mitzvahs of Pesach, why would this one be mentioned? Don't eat anything after eating the afikoman. Literally, it means, after eating the Korban Pesach, don't eat dessert. The word afikoman really means dessert. After eating the Korban Pesach, don't eat dessert. Why would you mention that law? Right? So many of the commentaries say, well, if you take a look in the Mishnah, in Arvei Psochim, the last Mishnah in Psochim, right? You know what the last Mishnah says? So really what the author meant to say is, teach him all the laws, up to and including, as many commentaries say that it's, you must add in your mind the word ad. Vafato emor lo ki hilchos ha-pesach, ad, until you come to, so it's as if it's saying, tell him everything, don't skip anything till the end. But of course, that you have to squeeze the word ad in it. So there must be something else in it. What else is there in Eimaftir Nachar HaPesach HaBikomen? Says the Shem Yishmuel the following. He claims that the question of the Chochom is not what they are, but he's asking, why did God command us to keep the Torah? Which means like this. The Chochom is asking, I understand mitzvos. They make so much sense to me, right? You have to eat matzah in order to remember edus. How else are you going to remember your past? You're going to forget your roots. It makes sense. Pesach, moror. How else are you going to remember that you used to be slave? You have to be mekayim moror. Mitzvahs make so much sense that I don't understand why God has to force us to do mitzvahs. Why can't it be just a matter of my own recognition? I keep my mitzvahs because I recognize they are right. That's why I'm a chochom. So listen to how he learns pshat. Moho eidus v'chukim ha-mishpotim asher tzivo. It's as if we say, why did he command us? The stress is in the word asher tzivo, according to the Shem Yishmuel. The chochom is asking, why is it an obligation? It should be a choice. It should be a privilege. Right? That is the statement of the Chochom. So we answer him the following. What is the real reason that you are not allowed to eat anything after the Korban Pesach? Because we want the Korban Pesach to be the dessert. What's the idea of being the dessert? Dessert is always eaten when you are full but not very full. Just when you eat dessert. If you're hungry, you don't eat dessert. Right? When you are so full that you can't stand it anymore, you don't eat anything. It's a state when it's sova, you are satisfied, but not terribly full. At that point, you eat the Korban Pesach. Now, the question is, every mitzvah, right, you should always try to do it when you're enjoying it more. Like matzah. When do you eat matzah? When you're hungry. As a matter of fact, you have to develop your hunger in order to eat matzah when you're hungry. So why is it that the Torah by Korban Pesach tells me exactly the opposite? Eat it when you are not hungry, but not too full. What's the idea behind it? What is the lesson of Korban Pesach? The lesson of matzah, we understand that when you do mitzvahs, you have to develop a hunger for the mitzvahs. Otherwise, it loses the meaning. But here comes the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and we say, no, we should not be hungry. You're not allowed to be hungry when you eat the Korban Pesach. What's the idea behind it? Right? There is a lesson in this too. The words of the Gemara is Al Hasova. You have to eat it when you're satisfied. What does it mean satisfied? Satisfaction is a physical state. Right? You have everything, you feel satisfied, you're not hungry anymore, right? the doing of mitzvos, right? What about if a person will do mitzvos because it gives him money, it gives him honor, right? Is that fine? Well, yes, it's okay, but it's not the ideal. The ideal of the mitzvahs is when we don't need it. In other words, if a person will put on tefillin because he says, well, I have to put on tefillin because otherwise I'm afraid what's going to happen to me. I'm going to assimilate. That's a good reason, but it's not the ideal reason. The ideal reason is to do mitzvahs when you have absolutely no ulterior motive at all. You're not afraid that you're going to lose money. You're not doing it for superstitious reasons. You're not afraid that God will punish you. You're not afraid of anything. You are just doing it for one reason only. This is the will of God. No personal reasons whatsoever. Symbolically, right, that is expressed in the state of satiation, satisfaction. I just finished eating. I really don't have to eat anymore. I can eat if I want to. I don't have to. I'm completely satisfied. Right? If I am ready to eat the Korban Pesach when I'm completely satisfied, I'm expressing this idea about mitzvot, that I'm supposed to do mitzvot when I'm not hungry. You hear? So there are two ideas. The hunger should be just a matter of enjoying the mitzvah, but it shouldn't be an ulterior motive for the mitzvah, because the ulterior motive of the mitzvah takes away from the mitzvah, which means if you really eat matzah because you are hungry, that takes away from the ulterior motive. You would eat anything because you're hungry. But if you eat the Korban Pesach because God said so, right, then you are in a state of satisfaction. You're not doing it because you're hungry. You have no ulterior motive whatsoever. Says the Shem Yishmuel, right, this is the statement. You tell him that the essence of doing mitzvahs, even though he's a chochom understands so much, right? It's very dangerous if you do mitzvahs because you understand them. How do we know from Hilchos Pesach that there is such a concept that it's dangerous to do mitzvahs because you understand them? In the fact that you're supposed to eat the Korban Pesach when you're satisfied. So this is what it means. The chochom asks, why did Hashem have to command us? I understand the mitzvah so well that even if he wouldn't command us, I would keep it. He says, no. It's very, very dangerous. You see, kehilchos ha-pesach, like you find in hilchos ha-pesach, that what? That aim of theory nachar ha-pesach ha-fikomo, which means you shouldn't eat anything after Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach is a dessert. What's the idea behind it? Because you are supposed to do the Korban Pesach when you're satisfied. That's the idea. If you do it for a reason, it takes away from the mitzvah. Now, we're going to come back to this chapter of the Shem Yishmuel, because it fits into something else that's very, very special what it says. The second person is the Rosho. So, we won't go into the details yet, what shot in what the Rosho asks. But the Shem Yishmuel, like many other commentaries, is bothered by the order. Why the Rosho is number two? Really, the Rosho should be number four, right? Chochom, Tam, you know, you're the Alisha, and it should be the Rosho, right? So it's interesting, I saw there is a Haggadah from with additions from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Terezi Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he says something very interesting, that the reason why the Rosho is number two is because he's almost as smart as the Chochom. He's smarter than the Tam. So therefore, following the order of the level of his intelligence, the Rosho is number two. That's what his answer is. The Shem Yishmuel says something else. The Shem Yishmuel says that the four sons are following an order of something that's mentioned in the Shmoin Esrei. Listen to this. In the Shmoin Esrei, when it says in the second portion of the Ovos, how Hashem helps everybody, Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. Hashem helps everybody in this world, right? So it says, so mech nofli, he supports the ones that are falling, the rofe cholim, and he cures the sick, umati rasurim, and he unties the tied ones, mati ras unties the tied ones, umkayem emunoso elishenyofor, and he maintains the faith. Four things. It's interesting. The Gemara says that there are four people that have to say todo. Hagomel, the Broch of Hagomel. Which are the four people that have to say the Broch of Hagomel? What do you have to go through in order to say the Hagomel? You know what they are, the four things that you have to say? A person was in prison, and he goes out, you have to say Hagomel. Todo. True? Who else? A person who was sick, right? A person who was in jail, a person who was sick. In a dangerous situation, like in a journey in the Midbar. And over Hayomim and the sea. That he didn't drown. So it says like this. Again, a person crossing a sea, the desert, jail, and a sickness. Those are the four. Arba, the Chayev Lehodos. So it says like this. Really, this is hinted. So Mechnoplin, right? Who will get killed if he goes too far down? The one who's crossing the sea. Rope Cholin, the sick one. Mati Rasurin, that person in jail. Umkaye Memunoso, the one who had faith, Lishene of four, literally means those that sleep in the dust. But what is it a hint to? It's really amazing, but it's really in the four, of the four that have to say thanks to God, is the one that went through the dust and survived. What is that? Crossing the desert. Okay, so the four that have to say thank you to God are hinted in the Shmone Esrei. What else is hinted, says the Shem Yishmuel? Says like this. Four levels, right, of people who are in danger. When the Torah says, you must speak to the Chochom. So if that means the father must speak to the Chochom's son, which means he's in danger. Why is the Chochom in danger? You hear? If he's the one that's supposed to be spoken to, so the Torah is telling me he's in danger. Otherwise, why does he have to be spoken to? Obviously, because you have to help him. Why is he in danger? He's in danger because sometimes his chokhmah is very dangerous. You see, when you try to follow Torah through chokhmah alone, you are in a state of danger. If you come up with this statement, well, God didn't really have to force us to keep the Torah. I'll rely on my chokhmah to keep the Torah. I understand eidut, chukim, umishpotim, things that are just, things that represent something to remind us of our history, right? Mishpotim, right? That's a tremendous danger. That's the first level of chokhmah. That is keneged soimeich noiflin. The chokhmah is a noifel. He's going down. He may drown. So what do you have to make sure that he doesn't drown? By telling him, Eim afiri nachar ha-pesach ha-fikomon, so you are throwing a lifesaver to him. You are breaking away from his chokhmah. He's a chokhom, but he doesn't rely on his chokhmah. He relies on the fact that Eim afiri, that you have to be soiveya, you have to listen to the word of God. What is the second level after the chokhom? The rosho. The rosho, says the Gemara, who is a rosho? Only mishenichnas boy ruach shtus. It's a sickness. Being a rosh is a sickness. That is roifei cholim. Roifei cholim, that's the second level. A person who is a state, he's sick, right? That sickness makes him into a rebel. Mo havoido azoi shlochem. What kind of a stupid laws do you have? That's what he says, right? Mo havoido azoi shlochem. Avod is something which is heavy, difficult. Why do you have to do everything which is difficult? Right? That's the sickness of the rebel, Rosho, right? What about the third level, the level after the Rosho? That connects, remember, we once spoke about the four generations, right? The Chochom, if he's not stopped during his Chochmah, right? His Chochmah will lead him to sons, right? That become Reshoim. The Chochom, if he's not stopped, if you don't throw him a lifesaver, if he relies too much on his seichel, right, he will raise children who become rebels to the seichel. Right? The chochom begets rosho. The rosho begets whom? The tam, the third generation, the third generation that didn't have a chance to do anything else. He was, the circumstances tied him to a certain situation. He is the Asur, the one that's tied. Do you hear? The third generation is the Matira Surim. That's the Tam. Interesting. You know that the word Tam has, on the surface, two meanings apparently contradictory. Tam is usually translated as a simpleton. But Tam also has a very positive meaning to it. Tam means what? Yaakovish Tam Yosheva Olim. Perfect. So how can it be that the author would use a word that has such a positive connotation, but it really means the simple, the stupid son? It doesn't make sense. Truth of the matter is that we are talking about a special type of simple. We're not talking about a simple son that is not intelligent. He's a son who Tam. The word Tam really means what? No, with a tough, not with a tet, with a tough. To complete something. To complete something is called Tam, which means he feels that there is nothing more to learn. Tam, he finished. Not that he's simple in his mind, which means he doesn't even see the possibility. What to change my ways? It's impossible. He's considered the one in jail. He's in the jail of his circumstances. The society put him in the jail of it, which means he doesn't even see the possibility of breaking away. That's the third generation. The Rosho begets a Tam. The Rosho had a choice. He chose not to, right? The fourth generation is, says the Shem Yishmuel, the generation of Iyush, the one who gave up everything. That he doesn't even ask Mazois. Mazois means that the possibility comes to his mind, but he rejects it. The She'ino Yodea Lishol doesn't have what to reject. He doesn't reject anything. I mean, he just knows he's Jewish. What that obligates is zero. What it means is zero. It's just a name. That is the Eino Yodea Lishol. Okay? That is the Mekayim Emunosoi Lishene Yofor. Literally, what does it mean, Mekayim Emunosoi? God maintains his faith even through the ones Lishene Yofor. Literally, those that sleep in the dust. Of course, it means Mechtriyas Amesim. But there is another Tchias Amesim. The Jew, right, who has lost all contact with Judaism, and then he's revived again, it's also a type of Tchias Amesim, right? He was sleeping, and all of a sudden God awakens him. That's the fourth generation. So really, according to the Shem Yishmuel, we are going through the four levels. So Mechnoflim is the Chochom. Rofei Choylim is the answer that we must give to the Rosho. Matira Surim is the answer that we give to the Tam, because the Tam thinks that there is no way that he can break away. And the Shene Yodea Lishol is Umkai Memunoso Lishene Yofor. Okay? That fits perfectly with that Pshalet I told you, that it says that the author of the Haggadah wanted to warn us the development of assimilation. That the first generation knows he's a Chochom. But unless he stops, his children will rebel. Right? And then the third generation doesn't have anything to rebel against. They can only say, Mazos, what is it all about? They remember the grandfather, the Chochom. Their father never did anything, right? So Mazos. The fourth generation is too separated from the first generation, doesn't remember anything. Doesn't even have to ask Mazos, he never saw anything. Right? So this is the Shein Yodea Lishol, four generations. That's the maximum. There are no fifth generations anymore, because then it's already, there is nothing left. I mean, the fifth generation doesn't even, is nothing even an Eidei Yodea Lishol, is just not Jewish anymore. Finished. Forgotten. So it fits with these four levels of the Shem Yishmuel here. Now, in the words of the Rosho itself, Rosho Mohu Oimer, Moho Avodo Azos Lochem. Many, many commentaries already ask. Here we make the following diuk. We say, Lochem? Why does the Rosho say Lochem? To you, veloy loy, that means he's not included. Oh, that's bad if he's not included. What do you mean? That's exactly what the Chochom does. What does the Chochom say? Chochom says almost the same thing. Instead of saying lochem, what does he say? Eschem. It's almost the same thing. He also leaves himself out. So, there are many, many answers. Very many answers to this question. But, one of the most reasonable answers is the difference between Eschem and Lochem. The Malbim explains that when the difference between Itchem, if I say Ani Holech Itchem, means what? I'm going with you, right? Itchem, Ito, I'm going with you. So it says like this, the difference between Lochem and Eschem is the following. Lochem is you and not me, and Eschem, which includes the letters Aleph Tov, that always means with you, means without excluding myself. But there's the Malbim's differentiation between Eschem and Lochem. According to that, Eschem is specifically not living out yourself, and Lochem is living out yourself. So there you have the difference between Eschem and between the Rosho and the Chochom. Now, it's interesting. The Chochem calls it an avodo. The Rosh calls it an avodo. The Chochem calls it chukim, eidus chukim u'mishpotim. Very easy to understand why. Because for the Rosh, it's an avodo. It's a burden. Right? For him, the Torah is a burden. This was it. Avodo azos lochem. The burden is for you. We should take only the easy mitzvot. The difficult mitzvot, that's for you. For me, not. So it says like this: Ulefishe hotzi esatva min haklal kofar beikor. Since he excludes himself from the klal, that is a kofar beikor, a very odd expression that afterwards became. The expression is known as someone who denies the existence of God, kofar beikor. Here it means he denies a most important principle, right? Which is the obligation to keep the mitzvahs in every generation. Afa toha ke yeshinov. Again, a very difficult expression. Hake yeshinov. Hake yeshinov. How does it translate it here? Doesn't translate it. Hake yeshinov is an expression that means, the word lahake yeshinov really means the feeling that you get, for instance, when you eat a sour apple. You know that feeling in your teeth, that terrible feeling in your teeth, which makes you very uncomfortable. And it make him very uncomfortable. That's the real meaning, hakei yeshinov. Make him very uncomfortable. How? By saying, v'mor lo bavur zeh oso Hashem, li b'tzeis mitzrayim, li b'loi loi, ilu yoshom lo yenigo. You don't even address him. You talk to someone else, you say, hey, he wouldn't have even come out of Mitzrayim. Because had he been in Mitzrayim, he wouldn't have come out because he was a Rosh. But it's interesting, say the commentaries. He could be that bad, because if he would be that bad, he wouldn't even be part of the Arba Gonim that the Torah speaks to. Someone who is completely a kofar be'ikar, he's not even at the table of Pesach. What is the Torah doing addressing itself to the Rosh? So I saw in one commentary the difference between Ro, Ish Ro, a man who is dead, and a man who is a Rosh. The word Rosh is really made up of the word Ra on the surface, Resh and Ayin, and the Shin in the middle. The Shin, according to the, you know that letters in themselves, each letter has a meaning. Besides the combination of letters having meaning, right? Every letter has a meaning, like Aleph. Aleph means a teacher, right? Yoli, in the Near the Gemara, the Lashon, Yoli, Aleph. Aleph is to teach, right? Shin, right? The letter itself means Shoresh, roots. And it even looks like an upside down root, right? So it says the Shin means Shoresh, which means like this. This Rosh, right? By the fact that he agrees to sit with us and address us and have a dialogue with us, that's a proof that he's not Ra. He's not completely through and through bad. He's only bad on the surface. He's a Resh and Ayin. But within the Resh and Ayin, there is still a Shin left. There is still roots left. So if so, he's not that bad, which means he has a chance. This is why Keneged Arba Bonim Divratori. This is the Rosh that you can still talk to. The Rosh that you can't talk to won't even be there. He won't even ask you questions. Horo. Homon Horo Hazeh. Not Horosho. Momon Horo Hazeh.
I heard from someone.
Now, the Tomo Oimer Mazois Vomarto Lo Bechozek Yodotzion Hashem Yitzvayim Beis Avodim. Now, the question of the Tam, Mazos, so most people, most commentaries learn because he's simple. He doesn't know enough to ask. But I found one commentary that says that Tam here means Tzadik. You hear? Tam means Yaakov Ishtam, Tzadik. And he asks Mazos as opposed to the Chochem, Mo Eidus Vachukim Yamishpotim. Why? Because this is the difference between the tzaddik and the chochom. Tom is the tzaddik, and he asks, Mazos. I'm not going to go into detail. This is chukim mishpotim. This is, I understand the reason. I want to know Mazos. I don't know anything. I accept everything. Just tell me and I'll accept it. I don't have to accept it because then it makes sense. Just tell me what it is. Mazos, tell me what it is. And I'm ready to do it. So according to this commentary, so this Tam is really the Tzaddik. So if so, the opposite of the Chochom is the Eino Yodei Alisho. right? Chochom eno yodea lishol. Rosho, tom. Of course, the order won't make sense. But the four really are tzadik rosho, rosho tam, chochom eno yodea lishol. Okay? Because otherwise it's really missing the tzadik. The chochom is the smart one. Right? Rosho is not the unsmart one. It's a rosho. Why don't we have a tzadik? According to this commentary, the tom is the tzadik. So we have all the four. Tzadik, rosho, chochom, and yodea lishol. The next portion, yochol merosh chodesh. Talmud loymar bayom ahu. That already creates many problems because we have to find a havea minute. A reason to believe, a reason to have come to the conclusion that you must start saying the Haggadah from Rosh Chodesh. Why would you think that you have to start saying the Haggadah from Rosh Chodesh? After all, I mean, it's not in Rosh Chodesh if we went out of Egypt. So it says like this. Why do we have to say, for instance, the Haggadah on the night of Pesach? It should be only at midnight. Or only early in the morning when we went out. So you're going to answer me? No. Because I can't say the whole Haggadah in 1 second. I need a certain time limit within which, right, the Nis of the Gula happened. So why only that night? Right? Maybe the whole month? True? It has to be within a certain unit, right? I have to say whatever I have to say on that, the Haggadah. So then you have to start thinking, well, but that unit must have a connection with the mitzvah, which means like this. Nighttime is connected with the mitzvah. Why? Because since it was dark and the Egyptians went to sleep and they woke up, so therefore it's connected with night. So I can tell you a much more important reason why you should start saying the Haggadah from the beginning of the month. Because what caused the Geula is the fact that it's the month of Nisan. That's what brought about the Geula. Right? The Gemara says like this. Benisan Nigalu, Omar Rabbi Yeshua, Benisan Nigalu, the Jews were redeemed in Nisan, or Benisan Asidin Legol. The future Geula will also be Nisan. Because the Chodesh Nisan is Ro'ui, is proper, it's fit for Geula. Right? More. It says, why is that called Rosh Chodoshim? Why is Nisan the number one month in the year? You know that in the Jewish calendar, we have a funny combination. That the first day of the year is what? Rosh Hashanah. The first month of the year is Nisan. Depends what you are counting. If you are counting days, that's Rosh Hashanah. If you are counting months, that's Nisan. Why? Because Nisan is the Zman. Right, the time period within which Jews became an Am. Right? So therefore, everything that has to do with Jews, it starts with Nisan. Now, you know that the whole idea of the moon, right, is very closely connected with Geula. If you pay attention to the whole Kiddush Levono, right, the whole prayer, we pray to God that the floor of the moon should be filled. Right? And David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom. What does that have to do with Kiddush Levona? What does one have to do with the other? I mean, Kiddush Levona has to do with David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom. And what are we praying that the moon shouldn't have a flaw? I mean, well, we care really whether the moon has a flaw or doesn't have a flaw. What's the whole point? Because we are praying to what the moon, what it symbolizes. The fact that the moon almost disappears and then rises up again, that is a symbol of Jewish history. When was it established that Jews had to go through the ups and downs of the moon? Chodesh Nisan. Right? That's when it was established. Chodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. And the moon becomes the image of what we go through. We almost disappear, and then we become full again, and then again we disappear, and then again we become full again. We never actually completely disappear. Right? So, the moon becomes the symbol of the continuity of the Jewish people. But what do we want? That eventually that process should stop. So instead of saying it out straight out, we want that which Mashiach should come. We say, we want that the flow of the moon should stop. Which means exactly the same thing. We don't want the moon to become the symbol of what happens to us. We want that the redemption should come and stay forever. This is why we end up, Dovid Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, which means what? Mashiach should come. Dovid Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim really means Mashiach. Okay? Comes out that the Chodesh Nisan, right, is the Chodesh HaGe'ulah. The reason why Pesach is in